One loud salawat, please. Main hoon dare abbas hai aur meri jabi hai. Main hoon dare abbas hai aur meri jabi hai. सब कहने की बातें हैं, सब कहने की बातें हैं, फलक है ना जमी है. मैं हूँ दरे अब्बास है और मेरी जबी है. जख्मी है मगर कर्बो बला कितनी हसी है. जख्मी है मगर कर्बो बला कितनी हसी है. जन्नत कहीं दुनिया में अगर है तो यही है. जन्नत कहीं दुनिया में अगर है तो यही है. क्यों मैं देहते अब्बास में लुकनत है जबा को. क्यों मैं देहते अब्बास में लुकनत है जबा को. देखो कहीं महफिल में सकीना तो नहीं है. देखो कहीं महफिल में सकीना तो नहीं है. कब मश्के छिदी यादें अब्बास को लेकर. कब मश्के छिदी यादें हैं अब्बास को लेकर. कब कट गए शाने ये उन्हें याद नहीं है. कब कट गए शाने ये उन्हें याद नहीं है. उतना ही यकीन है तेरी इमदाद का मुझको. उतना ही यकीन है तेरी इमदाद का मुझको. जितना मुझे जहरा की दुआओं का यकीन है. जितना मुझे जहरा की दुआओं का यकीन है. मैं हूँ दरे अब्बास है और मेरी जबी है.
सलावत.
JazakAllah, brother Muhammad Abbas Bakri. Can I have one more last salawat, please? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Just a few announcements before we begin tonight's program. The first one is to do with the tent. We are expecting a lot of wind and rain. As you can see, we have laid out a few marks where not to sit. That's because, unfortunately, there are some leaks from the roof, so we recommend you avoid those areas. But as always, there's a lot of space near the front for the brothers. And for the sisters, you can come all the way to the middle pole. Second of all, it's an announcement for the conferences. The first conference that's happening this weekend on the Sunday is the Nihnawa Conference. It's held at the Business Point Conference Center in the middle of GTA. It's featuring 5 English speakers. The cost for this is $10. You can buy your tickets online and visit the website for nainawa.com if you'd like to purchase tickets. If you have further questions, you can contact myself. Our own Maulana Asad Jafri will be speaking this Sunday. The second conference I'd like to speak about is the Interfaith Hussein Day. That's the third time it's happening this year. Inshallah, it'll be taking place on January 11th in 2014. They have the presentation on Karbala. They have an international art exhibit. And they also have a special drama exhibit. If you'd like to buy tickets for that, you can contact Brother Muhammad Abbas Bakri. He'll be selling tickets tomorrow, inshallah. Or you can purchase them by emailing events@waliulasr.ca. The program will be taking place in Mississauga, inshallah. And lastly, I'd like to ask everyone to move up. We are expecting a lot of people. And invite Maulana Sayyid Asad Jafri up to this member with a loud salawat. Sorry, two last announcements. We are selling the hoodies that I'm wearing. They're selling for $30 at the back tables. If you'd like to purchase one quickly before you leave, you can talk to the brothers or the sisters situated at the tables. And the second announcement is if you have any young children between the age of 2 to 6, we have our daycare happening downstairs in the basement. There are spots available. Once again, can the brothers move up as much as possible? Laat salawat.
رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين يا كرام استقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم بسم الله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الهمم ولا يناله غوث الفطن ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا والشفيع ذنوبنا سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواحنا الفداء ولعن الله وعدائهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله وقوله الحق بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد كتبنا في الزبور من بعد ذكري أن الأرض يرثها عبادي الصالحون صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد The challenges of establishing Islam in the West is our topic. Tonight is lecture number 3. Yesterday we attempted to describe the topic to all of you by talking about this promise of a divine government on this earth by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ayat that I will read for you every single day in the khutbah is from Surah Anbiya that talks about the idea that surely this land, أَنَّ الْعَرْضَ يَرِيثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ, that this earth, this land will be inherited by the righteous servants of Allah. We describe that the amount of dhulm, injustice, and bloodshed happening today is going to end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His infinite plan will allow us to taste justice as it should be, led by a ma'soom, inshallah, someday, one day, soon. And we mentioned that whenever we talk about social change, and what the Imam will bring is a social revolution, there has to be some muqaddamat, there has to be some preliminaries, there has to be something before he arrives for the stage to be set for his eventual arrival. As we've seen, every other social change, be it Islamic or non-Islamic, be it led by a ma'soom or not by a ma'soom, has always been initially prepared by the people, and then the actual change happens. For example, the conquering of Islam across the Arabian Peninsula during the Holy Prophet's time didn't happen until that migration from Mecca to Medina happened. The Islamic government was established in Medina only after the people of Medina made the Prophet of Allah complete and absolutely secure in the idea that we are ready for your arrival. Only then did he make that migration from Mecca to Medina. Our Imam's arrival is no different. What are those preliminary actions that we need to do before the arrival of the Imam? One of them that we mentioned was the establishment of the deen in the West. We have for a generation now followed Islam. Islam wasn't meant to be followed. Islam was meant to be established as a lifestyle. And this establishment in this part of the world has immense challenges. It won't be easy. It's not easy right now. So across now 7 nights, we will look at 7 various challenges that we will face in trying to establish the deen of Islam in the name of the Imam that we are waiting for. Because now the reality is that we can almost see this idea that Furat to Furat, as I said yesterday, what Imam Hussein started on the day of Ashura, Imam Zamana will end with his arrival, inshallah. And so there is an immense connection between these two revolutionaries. So for example, we will discuss the challenge of Ubudiyat, the challenge of religion. The West will teach all of you that religion and spirituality is an internal state. And it only requires you to believe and not act on that belief. Whereas Islam says that servitude, enslavement, ubudiyat, subservience, is the key to spirituality. Whereas this society will tell you, the more you enslave yourself towards Allah, the more extreme you are in terms of the Islamic faith. It's a challenge. The other challenge we have, for example, is the concept of the ego. This society will tell you that you are responsible for yourself. Build yourself. That ana inside of you has to be nice and strong. You will not get anywhere unless and until you brand yourself, market yourself, present yourself. And to do so, you do it by any means necessary. Stomp on people, trip them, lie, cheat, steal. It doesn't matter. Islam says no. If you want to get anywhere in this world, you crush the ego. You don't inflate the ego. It's a challenge of ours. And so on and so forth, across 7 nights until the 9th of Muharram, where we will discuss the idea of the challenge itself and why sometimes you and I are the barrier of that challenge. We have to first accept that challenge, understand it, and then move it forward, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. If we can fix the seating from now, it will be great. The black marks you see on the floor are wet from leaking top of the roof. If we can somehow fill up the gaps on my right here, come up a little bit in front of the camera, that would be great. And not block the entrance, please.
محمد وآل محمد صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
In tonight's discussion, the challenge that I wish to present in front of you is that of the heart. The state of our heart towards the deen of Islam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a challenge. And this is what the problem is. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. The challenge in tonight's discussion revolves around the state of our hearts. When I say heart, I don't mean this beating organ inside of our chest, obviously. I mean our essence. I mean our ruh, our inner dimension, our batin that's pointed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know that there are several different terminologies used in the Quran to describe one reality. For example, in one area you'll find that Allah refers to the state of the inner insan as a qalb. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَطَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. For example, in one area he refers to the inner dimension of the human being as a nafs. وَالنَّفْسِ وَمَا سَوَاهَا فَالْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. For example, in one area he talks about the ruh of the insan. All of these different terminologies point to one reality, the inner dimension. But that dimension has various levels to it. When we talk about the ruh of the insan, we talk about that dimension inside of us that is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll discuss that in a moment. We talk about the nafs of the insan, we talk about that animalistic dimension inside of us that triggers our lust, our shahwa, our ghazab, our anger. And when we talk about the qalb of the insan, we talk about that fluctuation we have inside of us. Qalaba in Arabic literally means one that fluctuates from one state to another, one state to another. And that's what I want to speak about tonight, is the state of our heart in Islam. Because yes, while the reality is that many of us might be following the Sharia of Islam, that presence of the heart, that huzuri qalb inside of our ibadat, inside of our worship, inside of our belief, just isn't there yet. In fact, the biggest challenge we have sometimes is with 1-2 rakat salat to maintain our focus. In a 45-second salat sometimes, it's like climbing a mountain. Sayyid, I can't do it. The moment I say Allahu Akbar, 1,000 thoughts enter my mind. And the moment I finish my tashahud and my taslim, those thoughts exit my mind. Our hearts aren't there yet. And yes, when it comes to the belief in Allah, we have this undoubtable belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when it comes to reliance on Allah, again, is our heart there or not? Every single one of us in this tent goes through a series of problems and struggles. If not right now, then at one point in your life you are right now. Do we have that dependence on Allah to know that if I'm going to escape from this struggle, it's going to be through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because the importance of the heart has been mentioned all across the Quran and in the seerah of the Ahlul Bayt as well. For example, one very famous ayat of Surah Hadid, Surah number 57 in the Quran, ayat number 16, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is posing a very rhetorical question to all of us. He says, أَلَمْ يَعْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَحْشَأُ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزْلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. That is it not about time? Has the time not come for the believers, not everybody, you and I, to begin to have khushu inside their qalb? أَن تَحْشَعُ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Khushu is this idea that when you are in front of an awe-inspiring existence, your heart is completely mesmerized by that existence. Is it not high time that the hearts of the believers have that remembrance and that submission towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Almost as if Allah is saying that when will all of us wake up to realize that so long as our hearts are purified and cleansed and directed accordingly, everything else will follow. Because Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, has a very beautiful tradition. I love reciting it. You love hearing it, I'm sure. Talks about the sanctuary of Allah. Where does it exist? Every existence has a sanctuary. Where is Allah's sanctuary? He says, Al-Qalbu Haramullah, Imam Sadiq says. Fala tuskin haramullah ghayrullah. The abode, the resting place, the sanctuary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not here or there. It's not even in Mecca. It's in the heart of the human being. فَلَا تُسْكِنْ حَرَمُ اللَّهِ. Do not let anything reside in that haram غَيْرَ اللَّهِ except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The exclusive home of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, metaphorically of course, is your qalb, is your heart. That's why Rumi says very beautifully that do not go out and your research. He says your responsibility is not to find that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your responsibility is to identify the barriers that exist between you and the love for Allah and remove them one by one. That love already exists. That love is already there. We don't need to create that love. We were actually created with that love. Because again, in the Quran, in Surah Rum, ayat number 30, a verse that's called Ayyi Fitrat, a very famous verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِدِينِ حَنِيفًا فِتْرَةُ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَتْرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ. A very profound, a very beautiful verse. Three beautiful messages. Number one, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهِكَ لِدِينِ حَنِيفًا. Point your face, it says, towards the deen that is upright. Not, of course, your physical face. It means to direct yourself. It means to begin to move yourself. It means to attempt now to create this lifestyle where you are now on the path of Allah. Why? Allah is the one. Look at this beautiful verse. Fitratullahi allati fatara nasa alayha. Allah created the innate nature of a man using his own innate nature. Our fitrat, our innate nature, is completely compatible with that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then just so you might think that, well, I live in the West, I don't have that fitrat. A guy in Iran or Pakistan or Iraq, where it's an Islamic country, he might have that innate distinction towards Allah. I don't, I live in Toronto. The Quran says, لا تبديل لخلق الله. Every single human being is born with this indication that you are pointed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no tabdil in the khalq of Allah. There's no change in the khalq of Allah. You could be here, you could be there. That fitrat remains. That innate nature remains. It's like the example I'll give you. It's a little bit of a simplistic example, but inshallah it works. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You know, nowadays, if you were to buy a laptop or a tablet or a smartphone, it comes already with a preloaded operating system, correct? In fact, you can choose what you want preloaded on your system. Now, back in the day, as I exposed to you what my age is, back in the day, it used to be, we used to buy a computer, turn it on, it used to be a blank screen, a flashing cursor. It would wait for you to upload the operating system of your choice. We had what's called 3.5-inch floppy disks. Yeah, man, back in that day. Not DVDs. She's like, what's a floppy disk? It's those big guys that has like a donut inside. And you would choose what you want. You want a DOS-based system? You want a Windows-based system? A little bit before your time. And you'd sit there, and for about 805 hours, you would load this operating system onto your computer. And after about 3 years, you have a computer that works. It's your choice how you want the machine to work. You have a choice. Today, that choice isn't there. If you were to pick up a laptop and that OS is not on that system, you return it. I'll go one step further in the example. After a couple of months, the manufacturer of the OS sends out updates for you. Allahu Akbar. And says, look, it's about time now you refresh your operating system. Those things you did before are not going to work anymore. If you have iOS 5.5 right now and you try to download an app on your iPhone, it's not going to work. Unless, of course, you're on your run. Everything works there. Here, it's not going to work. You have to download this nasty update of 7.0, which I hate. You have to download that for your apps to work. Apple shoves that update down your throat. Allah's system is the exact same way. He has preloaded us with the operating system of Tawheed. He's made us such that we don't have to have floppy disks or even know what a floppy disk is. But instead, we have already built in inside of us a system of Tawheed. The difference is that while the manufacturer of your smartphone will send out an update to you, Allah says the update inside your operating system is up to you, man, not up to me. You have to look at yourself and say, does my operating system of Tawheed need an update or not? Are my apps crashing? Does my calendar not work? Is my email not loading? Does my salat have khushu in it? Is my fasting a hunger strike? Am I going to Hajj when I should be? All these things are screaming to us, it's time for an update in our operating system. And it takes all of us to recognize the state of our heart. To understand that Allah has done His job. He gave us that heart that bleeds and speaks of Tawheed. It's now up to us to update it once in a while. And now is the time, in these 10 days, when our heart is so soft, is so pulled, is so completely mesmerized by this commemoration. Now is high time that we examine the state of our hearts and say, God forbid Ashura comes and goes and I'm the exact same way I was 3 days ago. No. Because the beauty of Imam Hussein's commemoration is that it provides you the softness of the heart. It's up to us now to mold that heart towards the zuhur of the Imam. Because if we allow that heart of ours to harden, now to break it and soften is a very difficult task. The example I often use is that of a sidewalk. If you've seen a sidewalk laid in one of these new neighborhoods, the process is very simple. They dig the grass up for the sidewalk. They lay down the cement. They put ropes around the cement while it dries. And once it's dried, they remove the rope and you're allowed to walk on it. They put those ropes around the sidewalk because they really hope that no one steps on that sidewalk while it's drying. Because if that sidewalk dries with those footprints on it, now to remove that footprint is very, very difficult. Break the cement, relay it, re-put the hopes, pray to Allah, no one steps on it, and move on. At this tender age, guys, your concrete has not dried yet. The problem is that sometimes we don't put ropes around our hearts. We allow anybody and everyone to come in and put their footprints all over the place. And then we cry, I can't find Allah in my heart. There's no sort of, khushu in my salat. I'm doing the motion, There's nothing really sort of an attachment there. I want to be a great Muslim, but I can't get there. Something's blocking. Baba, there's too many footprints on your sidewalk, man. And if you find yourself with too many footprints of anger, of resent, of love for this dunya, attachment to what you have, all these things are different footprints, then you have to do, before your heart dries, relay your cement. Put up your ropes and now guard your heart. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, be the security guard for your heart. Do not allow anybody and everyone to walk in and out of your heart. Why? It's not your place. It is the sanctuary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The state of our qalb is a challenge of ours in this day and age. That's why when you pick up the study of Irfan, I know how much you guys love Irfan, mashallah. You guys want to walk through walls. You want to be in Mashhad in an hour. You want to see people's barzakh. Worry about your own barzakh. Forget everybody else's. In the study of Irfan, Shaheed Mutahari Rahmatullah Alayh describes 7 to 8 different stages of Irfan. He says the very first stage of Irfan is called Irada. It's a Farsi word, it's an Arabic word, it's an Urdu word. It means the exact same way, exact same meaning. Your will to do something. Your willingness to do something. Before I continue, can I ask someone to please move forward? We have a little bit of a backup there. If you can perhaps come right close to the stage here, please, if you don't mind. With one salat ala Muhammad, ala Muhammad, please. The mic up a little bit, please. If you can work around the bags on the floors, that'd be great. But there's lots of space here on my right, and a little bit more space here on my left as well, please. Sorry for the zahmat. If the sisters are tight, there's tons of space behind the chairs. If we can so move those chairs back a little bit, then perhaps there's a bit more space behind. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. I want you guys to follow me here, please. We're talking about the very first challenge in establishing the Deen of Islam in the West, being our own personal state of our own heart. Shaykh Mutahari says that the journey of any insan in this world can be seen as the coming of 2 moon halves. Okay? So he took a circle, he split it in half. He has one half moon here, one half moon here. He says that one point on top of the circle is when we were born, we entered this world. And then we began our journey down the first half of the moon. He called that Sa'ire Nuzuli, the journey of the revelation. We were literally brought into this world or revealed onto this world by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, then there comes a moment where the second journey starts. And that second journey starts based on what you and I do in this world. And he labeled that second journey as Sayri Sa'udi. One is Nuzuli, one is Sa'udi. Nuzul to be revealed, Sa'ud to return back. He goes, where the first journey ends and the second one begins is up to you and I. And what is that point that ends Nuzul and begins Sa'ud is a spark in our life. Is a revelation we have inside of us. Is a moment where we stop and tell ourselves, I'm tired of the life that I'm living. It's about high time that I get this Islam thing right. I've lived my life like that. I've done everything I've done, disgusting or otherwise. I'm apologetic. I understand that I've made mistakes. Now I'm ready to go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That spark, that moment, is what triggers the ending of Nuzul and the beginning of Sa'ud in the eyes of Shaykh Mutahhari. And we have all, I think majority of us, have had that conversation with ourselves. That what are you doing? What are you doing? Do you really get this buzz getting high every single Friday? Do you enjoy going clubbing every single weekend? Do you enjoy being a womanizer with all these non-mahram women? Do you enjoy flirting with non-mahram boys online? Are you not disgusted by yourself? Have we not had that conversation with ourselves? Eventually, if you haven't, you will. And either it comes in our head and by morning it's out and we're back to our life, or we make a concerted effort to convert that spark into a light of hidayat. Because sparks are no good unless something's on fire. You can spark all you want. Until something catches, it'll come and go, man. And sometimes it takes some of us 10, 15 sparks, 15 conversations, arguments with ourselves, slapping ourselves across the face to say, I'm tired of this life. Let's go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever that moment is where the spark turns into a candle of hidayat is called irada in the world of Irfan. And that's when your sa'ud returns. That's when your journey that goes back to Allah returns. And he uses the very beautiful ayat of Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, that you and I have dedicated for the dead. That's it. A person passes away, Inna lillahi, and that's it. We don't ever recite that verse otherwise. Nothing. He says it's not about the dead. It's about you and I who are very much alive today. We are from Allah, Nuzul. We go back to Allah, Sa'ud. That's exactly what happens sometimes, several times a day. We fight ourselves. We control ourselves. We beat up on ourselves. We are the worst critic for ourselves. We tell ourselves, that's it. Starting tomorrow, every salat, every dua, every mustahab, it lasts for a couple of days. We go back to square one. And again, we start. This time, 3 days goes back. 5 days goes back. This struggle we have is a struggle of going back to Allah. So don't think for a moment this ayat is meant for those who have left this world. Yeah, it might be. It's meant for you and I in this world in a very much alive state. We spiritually become dead and then alive again. Dead and then alive again. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers in the Quran to these trees we see in the winter time. In the summer, that one tree on our front lawn is flourishing. Green, strong roots, branches, everything. That same winter, that same tree in the winter time is dead. No sign of life. You can't believe it's the exact same tree that 6 months ago was full of life and now is completely dead. Allah is saying that Allah is the one who gives trees that life it requires. And same idea, when our hearts die, it's Allah who can resurrect that life as well inside the hearts. Tonight, our challenge is to begin the journey of that sa'ud back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we haven't already. We are blessed, majority of us, to be born in Shia families. We are blessed, the majority of us, to have that quote-unquote favor from Allah to be taught this deen from when we were very, very small. Don't take that for granted. And don't think for a moment that you're free to get into Jannah. If Allah gave you that blessing, He'll also test that blessing as well. So ask yourself, at what stage is my heart at in terms of this journey of my life? Am I still Nuzul, Nuzul, Nuzul? Or has my spark caught on and now I'm sa'ud back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because the more you go down your Nuzul track, the more you are distanced from that initial point of creation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why there is so much emphasis placed on the idea that when you are young, to hold on to the rope of Allah. That Allah loves nothing more than a young person doing ibadat and hates nothing more than an older individual continuously committing sin. The opportunity that all of us have to cleanse our hearts, reform our hearts, and have that heart lead us is monumental. It's grand. And the reality is that sometimes we are our biggest barriers for our own hearts. We've convinced ourselves, like I said yesterday, we've convinced ourselves that I am not in a position to even be heard by Allah. Why would He listen to me? Do you know what I've done in my life? Do you know how disgusting of a life I live? Do you know how much of a hypocrite I am? That so long I am in those four walls, everything is great. The moment I leave my center, go into my house, inside my locked room where no one sees me, I'm somebody else. And I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands that, sees that. He's hadir, He's nadir as well. So why would He listen to my plea for me to go back towards Him? That's why the individual we are here tonight to commemorate is a misdaq of this hope that we should have inside of our hearts. And when I come to Masayib, I'll mention that. But before that, we cannot allow this hopelessness to be a barrier on this path of reform. Our heart is our lifeline. And if we attach that lifeline to the Ahlul Bayt, we can find life in that. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa lirasuli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum, the Quran says. Surah Anfal. O you who believe, answer the call of Allah and the Rasul when they invite you. Idha da'akum, towards what? Lima yuhyikum, towards that which will constantly bring you life. What is life, I wonder? What is life? Poetry is being read on it. Lectures, books are being said. Quran says this is what life is. The path of the Holy Prophet is life. Those who have deviated off the path of the Holy Prophet are walking corpses. Those who are on the path of the Holy Prophet, they may not be in this world very much alive. Du'ai Ahad, that we should read every single morning for Imam Zamana, is a renewal of the bay'at that we have for our imam. In there, there's a beautiful passage that says, if death is to befall or come between me and the arrival of you, O imam, if I was to die before the imam comes, فَأَخْرِجْنِي مِنْ قَبْرِي مُؤْتَزِرًا كَفَنِي Shahidan Sayfi Mujarradan Qanati. We talk about life and death. If death befalls on me before your arrival, take me out of my grave. Fa'akhrijni min qabri, such that my kafan is my libas. In one hand is my sword, in one hand is my shield. I'm ready to defend and serve you, O Imam. This man is 6 feet under, man. He's dead. We buried him. Dua says no. If he left this world on the path of the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, he's very much alive. إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. Answer the call of your Prophet when he invites you towards that which will always bring you life. The verb used in this verse is a future verb. يُحْيِيكُمْ. It's a future tense. If so long as you're on the path, life will come, life will come, life will come. So don't think for a moment that your heart is dead. Na'udhubillah, God forbid. It's not dead. It might be asleep. It might be sick. It might need a little bit curing. It might need a little bit of a shake. That's fine. Find your spark and begin the journey of Sa'ud back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Because the West will teach you otherwise. One thing that, and I'll end with this and go towards Messiah, inshallah, is one thing that the West preaches that Islam comes out and counters is the idea of contemplation. And yes, you might find these self-help books, you might find these gurus and these yoga classes that talk about contemplation and thought. That's all based in the East, I'm sorry, that have been brought over to the West. The West, however, says that some of the worst punishment you can give a person is solitary confinement, right? Put him in a cell and let him think about what he did. Whereas we have our seventh imam that's put into solitary confinement, and he says, Ya Allah, Alhamdulillah, I found the ultimate place to serve you in complete secrecy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam says, recognize that for 1 hour you should be alone every single day, on your musalla, thinking about what's going on. That's not punishment. It's an avenue for salvation. But this society says, please don't think about what you did. Just move on. That's why one of the reasons why we fear death is because death is a mulaqat of yourself, Allahu Akbar. In that grave, it's you, it's your books of amal, and you're reading it, man, one by one. At that moment, you can't blame Al-Mahdi, you can't blame your parents, you can't blame your friends, you can't blame Asad Bhai for all of your actions. No, it's there written in what you did, you have to face yourself, and that scares us. Because we are so easily able in this world to hand off the blame to somebody else. I would love to, but this person did this to me, so I'm this way. I don't have a beard for this person. I don't wear a hijab because of her. All these excuses won't fly in the grave. And so we fear that death. Learn to be alone with the alone in this world, and you'll find salvation. Because one of the most beautiful lessons we have in the commemoration of Karbala is one of hope. Amongst the bloodshed, amongst the trampled body, we have a story of hope. We have an individual, Janabi Hur. I don't know if you know what Hur was responsible for before the day of Ashura. I'm not going to Masab just yet. Hur was the individual, as you know, who blocked the path of Imam Hussein to go into Kufa and redirected him towards Karbala. Meaning one can say that it was because of Hur that Imam Hussein ended up in Karbala. Hur was that individual who sat in all those meetings that talked about the killing of the grandson of the Holy Prophet, and he remained quiet. Hur was the individual who put tears for the first time on this journey in the eyes of Bibi Zainab, salamullah alayha. When he blocked the entrance into Kufa and said that you cannot enter Kufa, you're going towards Karbala, Bibi Zainab began to cry. She was told by her Holy Prophet, when this redirection happens towards Karbala, understand that your mission and journey has begun towards Karbala. Janabi Hur was that individual that when on the 2nd of Muharram, Imam Hussein arrived in Karbala and he set up the tent beside Furat, beside Euphrates, it was Hur who said, pack up your tent and go away from Furat. It was Hur who was the commander of the army that used to place bets to see who would strike Imam Hussein first. That when Umar bin Sa'd was the first one to shoot the arrow at the Khaymagah, the tent of Imam Hussein, he would say to his boys, bear witness guys, I was the first one to shoot the arrow. Go back and tell Yazid that I was the first one because he promised me riches. He promised me government and power. He promised me maqam and fame and fortune. that whoever did the most amount of dhulm on Hussein, I will reward you for that, Yazid would say. And Hur was part of that. Hur was the same one who took every single drop of Imam Hussein's water. He drank, his horses drank. But then there came that side of Hur. When he woke up on the morning of Ashura, and he asked Umar ibn Sa'd, what will happen today? He says, Hur, bodies will be trampled today. He says, Hur, heads will fly today. He says, Hur, blood will be shed today. And he looked on one side, he saw 30,000 on one side. He looked on one side, he saw a handful, less than 100 on one side. And he realized that something isn't right. And he literally says that I stood there between the hellfire and the gardens of heaven. And I had a choice to make. And he called his son and servant and says, take me to Hussein. And his servant says, the same Hussein that you blocked water for, the same Hussein that you made him enter Karbala, the same Zainab who you put tears in her eyes, you think for a moment that this man will forgive you? He says, I have umid in the son of Fatima that he will forgive me if I go to him. He took his son and slave, they mounted the horse, and they moved towards the tents of Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein could hear a horse coming from the side of the army. He sends Abbas. Abbas, we have an enemy who's come. Go see what they want. When Hazrat Abbas saw that Janabi Hur came off his horse and asked his sons to tie his hands together and take me to my Mullah in this state as a prisoner, he said, Mullah, this person coming is not a dushman of ours. And when Imam Hussein saw this sight, he saw Hur coming towards him, tied up. Janabi Hur stood in front of Imam Hussein and collapsed at the feet of Imam Hussein. And said, Mullah, please forgive me. I've wronged you from day number one in this journey. I ask you to please forgive me. Imam Hussein picked him up. Can you imagine the heart of Imam Hussein? Imam Hussein picked him up, hugged him, and said, I have forgiven you, Hur, but please also forgive me. When you were my dushman, I gave you every drop of water I had for you and your horses. Today that you are my brother in this world and the hereafter, I don't have a drop of water to offer you. He says, Mullah, I'm not here for that. Mullah, I'm not here for that. I'm here for something else. My brothers and my sisters, the amount of sin and the amount of pain that Hur caused the Ahlul Bayt, can you and I say that we caused the Ahlul Bayt? No, but here we have Hur. In a split second, he went from La'natullah alayh to alayhi salam in a split second. His spark was that moment that he realized that hell is on my right and heaven on my left, and he chose heaven. It would make sense to me if someone left Hussein's army and went towards Yazid. But for someone to leave Yazid's army and go towards Hussein, it takes a very special person. And that person was Hur. And this message of hope and forgiveness is there. He says, Mala, give me ijazat to sacrifice me and my son for your cause. Imam Hussein says, you're my mehman, you're my guest. I can't give you that permission. He begged. Imam Hussein eventually agreed. At that moment, his son says, Baba, let me go before you. And Janabi Hur agreed. And this is enough for the musibat of Janabi Hur, that when his son fell from the horse and said, Ya Abata Adrikni, Janabi Hur didn't know what to do. He's pacing back and forth. Imam Hussein, what's wrong, Hur? What's wrong? He says, my son has called for me to help. I must go towards him for help. Imam Hussein stopped him and said, no, father, No father should ever go to his young Javan Beta's lash. Let me and Abbasco took a bus, went towards the body of her son, took the body, brought it back towards the tent, and said, Hor, you can pay your condolences now. I'll say this much to you, Mola. You were so concerned about an old, worn-out father and a young son. Come to Ali Akbar's Baichi, that same Baichi that you pulled out with your own bare hands. Was there anybody at that time that said no 57-year-old father should ever let this happen with him? But instead Imam Hussein didn't call anybody else for help. He called the small kids of the Bani Hashim and said, come and help me take my son back to the Khaymah. سَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلُمُوا أَيَّ مِنْ مُنْقَلِبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to accept this qaleel ibadat inshaAllah. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that within the hearts of our youth, you convert the pleasure of sin to the pleasure of worship inshaAllah. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so much tyranny, injustice, and bloodshed in the world. The only solution that we see is the coming of the 12th Imam. We ask you, Allah, to hasten that reappearance and to make us companions beside him during his mission. I have one request for all of you. I don't know how many of you have heard, but there was a young 20-year-old in our community who was struck with a car while riding a bike on the way to school today, I believe. She is in critical condition. I have her name here. I'd like you to please join me in reading Dua Shifa, inshallah. Alia Afshar, I believe. And also for Niaz Fatima Rizvi, who right now has also gone through a stroke and has severe brain damage. For these two, and for those who are in need of our du'as and shifa, inshallah, bihaqqi bimari Karbala Imam Sajjad, please join me in reciting ayah shifa, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Amma yujibu al-mustarra idha da'a wa yakshifu al-su'. أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 يا كاشف الضر والبلوى يا الله يا الله يا الله. We ask you, Allah, to grant these two individuals shifa kamilan ajran inshallah. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are in need of our du'as, those who are struggling in terms of their health, we ask you, Allah, bihaqqi bimar karbala, to also grant them shifa as well. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.